Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The text for our sermon for today comes from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." God's word is powerful. He speaks and amazing things happen. He used his powerful word to create everything. At the beginning of time, he spoke into the void and said, "Let there be light." And instantly there was light. He uses his word right now to continue to preserve all life, even you and me as we speak. Without God's word of command, we wouldn't be alive. No amount of oxygen from the air or energy from our food would sustain us. For man does not live on bread alone, but on every word coming from the mouth of God. Our Lord Jesus used this powerful word on the cross when he cried out, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And he gave up his spirit. It was not taken from him. He gave it up when it was time. He also used his word during his descent into hell, when he proclaimed his victory to the devil and his minions right to their face. And he used his powerful word during his earthly ministry. He spoke, and amazing things happened. Our reading for today is about one of those times. Jesus speaks, and amazing things happen. Now Jesus, true man, has been preaching all day. It's getting late. The sun is starting to set. He and his disciples are ready to leave. There's a boat waiting for them. Jesus finishes preaching and dismisses the crowd. He then gets into the boat with his disciples, and they start heading over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee because he has ministry work planned over there. As they're crossing, there's a huge storm. The wind is incredible. Waves are breaking over the side of the boat, filling it up. The disciples are scared for their lives. They think this is the end. They look for Jesus and find him asleep. The boat is rocking vigorously back and forth. Waves are spraying everywhere. And Jesus is sleeping through all of it. They wake him up and ask him, "Teacher, don't you care about us? We're about to die." Now, when we first hear this question from the disciples, we may think to ourselves, "What are you thinking? Why would you ask him that? Of course Jesus cares. Don't you know who he is?" But that's just it. The reason they react this way is because they are failing to recognize who Jesus is, who God is. The disciples have been with Jesus for some time now. They've seen him turn water into wine. They've seen him heal the demon-possessed and paralyzed. They know what Jesus is capable of. But when they are in a situation where their lives are being threatened, they doubt him. "Don't you care?" How often do we find ourselves doubting God in this same way? We ask God this same question. Something we consider bad happens in our lives, and we start asking, "Why, God? Why are you letting this happen to me? Don't you care about me?" A loved one is suddenly taken from us. Economic trouble hits our family. We receive bad news from our doctor and we ask, "Don't you care?" Our reaction is based on the same misunderstanding of the disciples, a failure to recognize who God is. We doubt God is really in control of the situation. We doubt that his purposes are really for our good. Despite our doubting, God is in control. Look at how Jesus reacts to his disciples' question. He gets up, rebukes the wind, and says to the sea, be quiet, be still, and immediately everything is completely calm. Wow, that is the powerful word of God at work. He opens his mouth and creation obeys him immediately. The disciples couldn't do anything. They couldn't make the wind go away or the waves die down, not even a little. But all Jesus had to do was say a few words. That really is amazing. The disciples didn't have to doubt God would preserve them. The one who created the wind and the waves was right there in the boat with them. When faced with a difficult situation, we also don't have to doubt God is in control. We can trust him because we recognize who he is. He is Almighty God. He speaks and amazing things happen. All things are under his control. We know his purposes are for our good. Now, we may not have the apostolic gift of foresight that the Apostle Paul had. One time when Paul was being taken to Rome on a ship, they were hit with a huge storm like this one. It lasted for days on end. Everyone had given up hope. But God gave Paul a vision in which he was told no one on that ship would be lost. He knew he would survive the storm because God had given him a special revelation in which he told him this. You and I don't have this same promise when we are put in life-threatening situations, but we can rely on what God has revealed to us. We know that God is in control of all things, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We can trust God because we understand who he is. He is God. He is Lord over creation, and the Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Now, the only thing we knew about our Lord was that he was all-powerful God, we would still fear him, as the disciples still do at the end of our reading. Isn't it amazing how after seeing Jesus do this miracle, they still are afraid? They ask each other in amazement, "Who is this?" Clearly, they still don't understand who Jesus is. They are missing the obvious. What has Jesus just said to them? After dealing with the storm, Jesus turns to his disciples and says to them, he deals with them now and says to them with his powerful, almighty word of command that he's just used on creation. Now speaking tenderly to their hearts, he says, "Why are you afraid? Don't you have faith?" God's word is all-powerful, working wonders, creating the universe, controlling creation. But it is also a gentle whisper, a still small voice which he uses to tenderly address his people. The prophet Elijah, when he was on Mount Horeb, waiting for God to reveal himself, God revealed himself not in a huge wind or an aggressive earthquake or a blaze of fire. He wasn't in any of those things. Instead, he revealed himself in a small voice, a gentle whisper. This is the same way Jesus addresses his disciples here. Jesus, true God, could have destroyed the disciples right there on the spot for their display of unbelief. But he doesn't. As their loving Savior, he helps to redirect their focus. He deals with them by speaking to their hearts. Think of Job. Job and his friends spend the majority of the book questioning God for all the bad things Job has had to suffer. And finally, after all their questioning, chapters and chapters of it, God speaks to Job out of a huge storm and starts asking him some questions. Are you God or am I Job? He could have destroyed Job and his friends right on the spot for their display of unbelief, but he doesn't. He speaks tenderly to Job's heart and redirects his focus. Jesus is more than Almighty God. He is also our loving Savior. For our sin and unbelief, he could have spoken his powerful word and destroyed us, but he didn't. He came down to earth and was made man. He perfectly obeyed the law, something we could never do. He was perfectly in line with his Father's will, even sleeping on a boat in a storm, perfectly trusting the Father because he knew it was all part of his plan for him. He went to the cross and bore the weight of all my sins and yours. He declared his victory when he said, "It is finished." He descended into hell and proclaimed victory to the devil and his minions. And he rose from the dead on Easter, guaranteeing our redemption, guaranteeing that we too will rise. We just heard Jesus speak his powerful word of command, and something amazing happened. Creation bowed to its creator. And now, he uses that same word and tenderly speaks to our hearts and encourages us to believe in him. That too is something amazing. The disciples on this occasion did not fully understand who Jesus was, both their God and their Savior. But they came to know it, and they preached about it. We also know that Jesus is our God and our Savior. We can trust he is in control and has good plans for us, because we know that he has conquered sin and rose to life, guaranteeing that we too will rise. God's word is powerful. It has done amazing things, from creation to Jesus' calming of the storm in which he displayed his power and control over creation. And he continues to show his control over his creation by daily providing for us with his powerful word. But the most powerful word he spoke was when he conquered sin, death, and the devil and declared his victory. Equally amazing, though, is what happens when God speaks tenderly to our hearts. He pronounces forgiveness over us in worship. He strengthens us in faith when we hear the words of Scripture. He directs our focus to him. In our Easter joy, let us remember that our Lord Jesus is all-powerful God and also our tender, loving Savior. Amen.